I heard that you haven't been studying the book of Matthew, so I'm happy. I'm doing something before Ross in his church. Yeah. He always does it in his logo. So, chapter 8, verse 18. And please follow up in your Bible because it's going to be speaking in tongues, Romanian, in a few minutes, I mean, a few seconds. So, verse 18 going to 22, okay? Când a văzut Iisus, mulțimea din jurul lui le-a poruncit ucenicilor să treacă de cealaltă parte a mării. Chiar atunci a venit la el un cărturar și i-a zis, Învățătorule, te voi urma oriunde vei merge. Iisus i-a răspuns, Vulpile au vizuini și păsările cerului au cuiburi, dar fiul omului nu are unde să-și odihnească capul. Un altul dintre ucenicii săi i-a zis, Doamne, dă-mi voie mai întâi să mă duc să-L înmormântez pe tatăl meu. Iisus i-a răspuns, urmează-mă și lasă morții să-și îngroape morții. Amin. This is an interesting passage. There's the title, The Cost of Discipleship. I don't know if you have it in your Bibles. It is in our Bible. But if you try to understand discipleship in the book of Matthew, it goes something like this. Okay, I'm going to present to you a little bit what Matthew is doing in his book, okay, in his gospel. Probably Matthew is not one of your favorite gospel, right? Probably John is, right? Yeah, John used to be my favorite, but after studying Matthew, now it became my favorite. So it's interesting what Matthew is doing. He's going with two plans in his book. He talks about Christ and he talks about discipleship. So let's see those pictures pretty clear in the gospel. Let's look at the first one. Matthew presents Christ in a unique way. He's the Son of Man, the one that has glory, but the one that came to die for the sins of the people and to be resurrected. So he's the new lawgiver, the new Moses, the new Israel. So let's see how he presents that, okay? If you look at in chapter 1, you have genealogies, right? And they're pretty different than the ones in Luke 3, for example. And they're very interesting because in the middle of those genealogies, you find some ladies. And it's weird, and it's even weirder to think that they're not Jewish. You know, they are Gentiles. So it's very tricky because a lot of people are saying that the gospel of Matthew, it's the gospel for the Jews, you know, for the Jewish people. And actually, if you look at very carefully in the gospel, it's actually a gospel for the nations. And it's when you think about the way Matthew starts, it is very clear, you know, putting some Gentiles into the line of Christ. Okay, you get in chapter 2. And chapter 2 is a very unique one. It talks about the birth of Christ, but it has four different passages from the Old Testament that Christ is fulfilling them. You know, because Matthew wants to prove that Christ is the one that comes and fulfills the Old Testament, saying actually that the whole Old Testament is about Christ. So the most intriguing one for me is the one where Matthew says that Israel went into Egypt because Christ was supposed to go into Egypt. So it's like, wow, a whole history of a nation happened because Christ was supposed to go in Egypt for just for a few months. Yeah. And Matthew proves that everything that happened in the Old Testament with Israel happened because it was an illustration and a picture of Christ. And I say, you get to chapter 3, and at the end of that, you have the baptism of Christ. And just wonderful to see when Christ is going into the water, there's a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son. You know, and you read that, and you're like, okay, you know, I mean, it's God saying about the Son. But for an Israelite mind, you know, for a Jew mind, it was like, we are the Son. We are the beloved Son. Is Yahweh saying about somebody else that, you know, it's his beloved son? So it was very interesting for them to hear that voice saying about somebody else that this is my beloved son. Okay, because the nation of Israel always said, we are God's son. Okay, and there's some verses even in the Old Testament talking about that. So God is saying, this is my son. And in chapter 4, for God to prove that, he took Christ into the wilderness. Exactly the way God took Israel into the wilderness. God took Israel into the wilderness 40 years and took, by chance? No, 40 days Christ into the wilderness. And Israel failed, Christ didn't fail. Because he is the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He's the Christ. He's the true Israel. And Matthew wants to prove that, and he wants us to see. And it's interesting, if you think about the three temptations, you know, so many people make such a big deal about those and trying to prove so many moralistic things, you know, how to fight temptation. I think those temptations are actually about the titles of Christ. He's the king, he's the priest, and he's the prophet. And that's why we have the three. And I think Matthew tries to prove that Christ is the priest, the king, and the prophet. And especially the prophet, because you have chapter 5. On chapter 5, just, you know, the first verse, it says Christ goes onto the mountain, walks onto the mountain. And it's just an amazing picture to think about it. You know, years and years ago, into the wilderness, Moses was going onto the mountain to receive what? The law. And now Christ goes onto the mountain to speak the law of Christ. And it's just interesting, you know, God, chapter 5, 6, and 7, you heard it was said by, and I say unto you. You heard it was said, but I say unto you. And Christ is proving that he is the new lawgiver, and he has the right to do that because the Father said so. You know, just a few chapters, I mean, chapter 3, he said that. And prove that Christ is the true Israel. Okay, some of the Jews were like, okay, I got you. Matthew, we got you. But when Moses gave the law, Moses was kind of like a miracle guy. You know, he always did miracles. So, and Matthew said, okay, I hear you. So we have chapter 8 and chapter 9, 10 different miracles that Christ is performing. And he shows that he has power over death, over life, over nature, over sins, over anything. Because he is the Son of Man. He is Christ, and he can do that. And it's just amazing to see how Matthew proves all that. And, you know, in getting at the end of chapter 16, the last verse says, some of you are not going to die before you're going to see my glory. Okay, and you get into chapter 17, you have the transfiguration of Christ. And actually, Christ takes only some of the disciples, the three of the disciples, and I think show to them his glory, okay? And it's interesting to see that picture in chapter 17. It happens on a high mountain, okay? And mountains are very important in the Gospel of Matthew. And it's interesting, on the highest mountain, Christ shows his glory to those three disciples. And when he does that, two other men are showing up. They come for a party, okay? You got Moses and Elijah. Moses representing the law, and Elijah representing the prophets. And it's interesting, in the middle of that party, you have God the Father speaking again. And he said something that he said a few years, I mean, what, about a year and a half ago? This is my beloved son. But he added something. Listen to him. It was something that actually Moses said in Deuteronomy when he was talking about the other prophet that will come. And Moses said, listen to him. So God now said, listen to him. And the moment God said that, what happened? The rapture happened. Moses and Elijah disappeared. Okay, they're not there. they disappeared. And you wonder, what is this picture? I think he makes it, the Matthew makes it very clear. You have Christ. Listen to him. And the whole book of Matthew, the whole gospel, shows us the beauty of Christ, shows us that he's the new lawgiver. He's the wonderful Christ that comes from the Father. And he's the one to listen. And while Matthew does that, he shows us another picture. Some goofy, stupid man, always fighting. No, I'm the first. No, I'm the first. No, I'm, you know, I'm better than you. And I mean, always fighting. Do you see the disciples in the Gospel of Matthew? Always fighting, always making bad statements. You know, the chief of them, Peter. I mean, when he thinks he made a good statement, you know, in chapter 16, saying, you are the Christ, Christ looks at him and says, no. God the Father discovered that to you. And, you know, I mean, right after that, he was saying to Christ, no, you can't go to die, you know. So he doesn't understand it. I mean, think about chapter 17. Christ shows his glory. His face was shining like the sun. That's what the gospel is saying. And, you know, Peter comes and says, let's build some tents. I mean, it's just hilarious. How can you put the sun in a tent? But that's Peter. And at the end of the gospel, Matthew underlines that all the disciples forsake him. And we have Peter doing a big time. I mean, he said, no, and he's swearing that he never, you know, knew Christ. And it's interesting to see this image of disciples, of the disciples failing, weak, stupid, goofy. It sounds like me. It really does. But it's grace, because before that you have this image of Christ, who is powerful, who is strong, who is the king, who has power over everything, who has the authority over everything. So he's going to give me grace. So discipleship, you know, to be a disciple of Christ, you can be a disciple of Christ because of Christ. And it's amazing to see that in the book, that you're weak, but through your weaknesses, Christ is going to be shown. And that's what Paul says later on. You know, through my weaknesses, Christ is shown that he's strong and he's powerful. And it's amazing to see that. And in the middle of that, we have this, chapter 8, the cost of discipleship. You have two guys coming to Christ. Actually, Luke says about the second one that Christ went to him. And, you know, liberal theology is making a, you know, big deal about that, you know, the Bible contradicting itself. No, the discussion happened. It doesn't matter if he came to Christ or Christ went to him. You think it's a big deal? I don't think so. It's just a matter of perspectives, I think. It's not contradicting itself. So you have here those two guys, a scribe and a disciple. And when you read disciple in the Gospels, don't get confused. They're not believers. They're just people following Christ, but they don't know him, okay? And in this section of the book, actually, chapter 8 and chapter 9, the people that Christ is talking with, they don't follow Christ. So those two people, we know the results. They're not following Christ. And the first one, the scribe, comes and says, teacher, wherever you go, I'll follow you, okay? Nice promise. You know, wherever you go. Why is he making that promise? Because Christ was famous. Everybody's following Christ. And if you look at it in the Gospel of Matthew, you will see how Matthew builds this. More and more and more and more people are coming and following Christ. They want to see Christ. They want to see what he's doing. So, you know, this guy comes along and he says, Christ is famous. So if I'm going to stick around him, he may make me famous. So he liked that, and he went to Christ, and he promised, you know, oh, I will give you my presence wherever you go. I will come with you. And Christ looks at him and says, oh, you don't understand something. I don't have a pillow. And he's using, when he's answering to this guy, he says, the Son of Man. Son of Man is used 5 times in the Gospel of Matthew. Always talking about suffering, always talking about Christ being rejected, always talking about Christ dying. So when he's talking to this guy, scribe that should know the Old Testament, he's saying, I can make you famous. If you want to die, yes, I can promise you will die. If you want to be rejected and persecuted by the people around you, yes, I will promise you, you will be. And this guy was not ready. And I wonder, are we ready? You know, I mean, today it's nice. Nice singing, coffee, good AC, whatever. I mean, just, it's nice. But I just wonder after, you know, let's say a few years, America is going to be under persecution and people will say, are you a believer? Are you a Christian? Yes, okay, you're fired. Or if they're going to stand right before the building and say, are you walking in? Yes, okay, and don't walk in, let's go to prison. Are you going to be ready? You know, now it's nice. We can, yeah, it's changing because persecution comes in America. You know, I mean, one lady was put in prison because she did what she did, and persecution is coming. And I wonder if all of us guys are ready for that. We make promises very quickly, like this guy. You know, just remember about, you know, January 1st, 2015, you said, I'm going to read my Bible every day, I'm going to pray, I'm going to fast, I'm going to do that, I'm going to, you know, by the end of, you know, February, you cannot find the Bible in the house. You said, honey, where's the Bible? Where did I put it on Sunday? We make so many promises. So you say, God, if God will heal me, if God will do that and do that, I will follow him, you know, with all my heart. I will give everything to mission, whatever, you know. We make so many promises, and God sometimes does that, and we forget our promises. And that's how I know that if persecution comes today, some of us or many of us may fail. And we have to stand before the Lord and say, Lord, help us and give us grace to learn how to handle all this, how to follow you. You know, in 20 and 21st century, there have been more martyrs in the world than in all the 19th century combined. It's just amazing if you think about it. You know, we're living in modern times. No, people are dying today for their faith. Are you ready to pay the cost of following Christ today? Or are you like the other guy, you know, the disciple, that he came to Christ and he said, oh, let me go and bury my father and, you know, and after I will come and follow you. And I was sharing that the other day. What this guy is actually saying, you know, we read it and we don't really understand it. We think actually that this man was a nice man. You know, he wanted to go and take care of his father. No, what he was actually saying, he was like, I'm going to go home and make sure my father dies. When he dies, I will inherit everything. Huh? Do you have children? Would you like to hear your son saying, I can't wait for you to die? No, that's not nice. And Christ saw the heart of this man. He didn't care about, you know, discipleship. He didn't care about Christ. He was for material stuff. Dollars, you know, in his eye. I mean, he was just constantly wanted money. And his heart was an unredeemed heart. And how do I know that? Look at Christ's answer. He says, let the dead bury the dead. You want to be with the world? You want to have what the world has? You know, their houses and their cars and their whatever? Okay. You're going to lose your soul. If you want to be with the world and entertain yourself with the world, go ahead, Christ said. But you know what? You're going to die spiritually. You know, it's so interesting to see in churches today, so many people living like the devil during the week. But on Sundays, they are saints. I mean, you can even have icons for them in the Orthodox Church. So, I mean, they're so amazing people. But if you have a Bible study during the week, they never show up. If you ask them, hey, let's go, you know, get for a coffee and study, you know, Peter together, they will never show up. They never read their Bibles. They don't have any love for God. And it's interesting, if you look at them, they always talk about money and houses and cars and, you know, oh, I just had dinner, you know, with the president from that company. Really? Is he a believer? No, but he's the president of that company. Well, who cares? You know? And there are people always seeking for that. And they're between us. And Christ is saying to those people, no, 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 no. You have to give up that. And it's a message for us today. We have to give up on what the world wants and just decide to follow Christ. You know, be ready to lose your life. Okay, be ready to lose it for Christ's sake. And when I say lose it, I say give up everything. No? And maybe sometimes physically die. And I pray that the Lord will help us to pay the cost and be ready to do that. And why? So God will be seen more and more through us, and His glory is going to surpasses everything. Amen? Lord, help us. Amen.